The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon and Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. We are in the midst of a new case, the healthcare detective on the case, his own. Oh, my aching back, on my bed of pain, actually on my way to the hospital. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I actually am. I'm fine, actually. Not bad this morning. Gets worse as the day goes on. But I'm indeed on my way to the hospital as part of my pre-op for my operation. So as listeners know, we've been following this for a couple of weeks now. This is the worst pain I've ever had. It's a back spasm. Hits me in the lower back, radiates down my thighs and my hamstrings to the point where I lose all muscle tone. And I've fallen twice. Not really fallen, I've collapsed, is more like it. So look, I can't live with this, obviously. I've made my decision. I'm having a three-hour back surgery next Wednesday. And I think the purpose of this series that we're doing is just allow the listeners to kind of look over my shoulder and learn from my experience as I go about sort of trying to find the right doctor, avoiding unnecessary tests, pre-op nonsense that goes on, and then comparing the diagnosis and making a decision I think that's best for me. So we started out with a very simple goal. We're trying to get at least two diagnoses from peer-reviewed back surgeons. We're ruling out anybody else who isn't peer-reviewed, respected by their counterparts. And we actually ended up with three. Now, you know, the first one, I got a Columbia Presbyterian, looked at my old tests, didn't ask for any new tests, and said I could get by with epidurals. Well, I'd already had two, and I
screaming in pain, right? But yeah. Other than that, fabulous advice. Okay, so the next guy.
Yeah, that one I kind of pushed aside. Then, you know, this happens a lot. And then I you know, there's a new spine center up at Columbia Presbyterian on the north end of Manhattan. Apparently it's great. I called up there. They never call me back. So you got to rule that one out. Sometimes institutions get too big for their own good. But anyway, I went to a top back surgeon. I met him while I was researching my book, Your Best Healthcare Now, which you claim is fine, fine, fine.
I do.
I love it when you say fine, fine, fine.
And I also claim that it is available online in store. But it's also really useful. So that's
it's really useful. Well, this was very useful. So I called this top back surgeon. He was he's a great guy. He's out of the country, so we got to rule him out. But he gave me a reference for someone at top guy at Mount Sinai. So that was one. And then my family doctor actually did some detective work for me with the people who work at the Hospital for Special Surgery. We know that's a very special place. And we came up with a recommendation from there. So I had two solid doctors. Now, the doctor at Mount Sinai was a guy named Saad Chaudhry, wonderful guy, could not have been more impressive. Now, he's operating constantly, and you want that. You want someone who's operating constantly where your surgery is something he's done, you know, more or less in his sleep. These guys are hard to see. He fit me in between operations, sort of surrendered a lunch to sit down with me and my wife, Carol. He looked me in the eye. He couldn't have been more, he's a great straight shooter. And in the end, he came up with a very solid, conservative diagnosis. See, he thinks, I've had this chronic problem at 4-5. Anybody who's had back problems know what I'm talking about. L4-5 is your lower back. That's a chronic problem there. We've operated on that twice. He says, look, let's leave that mess alone. But your pain is being caused by a new problem at L2-3, higher up on your spine. I'm going to clean it up. The technical word is lappendectomy. I'm going to clean it up for you. Then we went, obviously, the second doctor at Hospital for Special Surgery. This is not so easy. He is extremely busy. So what I had to do, and I hate to do this kind of stuff, I hate the Bigfoot, but I called in somebody with a lot of weight at Special Surgery, and phone call was made, and guess what? I got to see him. Now, I was the first of 37 patients that he saw that day. Can you imagine a day that with 37 patients?
Yes, in fact, because don't forget, this is, well, don't forget, you know this, but possibly all of your listeners don't know, but Marshall had three surgeries, count them, three, at the hospital for special surgery with his feet. And, you know, it's they're a busy outfit there.
They are a busy outfit. So I would just, the tip I would pass on is, if you're seeing a doctor that busy, do your best to be as, get in as early in the day as you can. I volunteered to come in half hour early. He accepted that. So I was the first patient he saw. I did not want to be the last patient at 8 o'clock at night. Okay. But even before he saw me, he ordered more tests, a very special CAT scan. He would not see me until he was absolutely sure that I needed surgery. Now, I've never discussed this with him, but I think he did not want to waste time with a Medicare patient who didn't need surgery. So, look, you do the math. If he does a consultation with a Medicare patient with no surgery, maybe he gets $60. If he does a consultation with a cash patient in that situation, he probably gets $600. I've never discussed it with him.
$600, I would say even more, no?
Yeah, perhaps. Look, I'm giving you ballpark numbers, but I'm not that far off.
Okay.
But anyway, look, that said, Carol and I saw the guy, right? And we really, really liked him. I mean, he's very charming. He's young. He's very confident. What I was hoping for, Jill, we discussed this last week, what I was hoping for were two very similar recommendations, and then, you know, I'd make a choice, and I wouldn't have to be forced into getting a tiebreaker. But like everything else that's happened with my back since the spasms began on March 27th, no luck. The special surgery doctor says the spasms are coming from L4-5, the old place, not 2-3, the new place. Furthermore, he says, you need a fusion there at 4-5. He's actually going to put in a cage, if you can imagine this, to contain this bulging disc, this displacement, and hold it into place. And plus, you know, he's going to give me a Wednesday special. He's just going to throw in 2-3 or clean up 2-3 too. Anyway, he says that after he does all that, and he's going to do it in just 3 hours, just 3 hours. That's like racing around a racetrack with a scalpel. He's going to do it in 3 hours. And then he said, all my pain will be gone because he'll have addressed the real problem at 4-5. Now, Dr. Chaudhry up in Mount Sinai is just saying, let's just clean up 2-3, no fusion. He was adamant about that. But he also went on to say, look, I can't really guarantee that you'll be fully pain-free. I mean, but it won't be that bad. We'll handle it with PT and meds, whatever. But there you go. You got two contrasting diagnosis. So, Jill, how do you break a tie? You know, normally you'd go for a third opinion, right? But here's the problem. I couldn't think of anyone better than these two guys. And now, furthermore, if I started a search, let's say NYU, that'd be a logical place to look, right? I don't know anybody down there. I've got to start from scratch on a search. That's going to take more time. I am in constant pain. To control the pain, I am taking too many opioids. This can't go on. And I'll give you another factor, a really critical one. Our little baby Nina is getting married in June, and I want to have the hospitalization, the surgery, and the rehab so that I can be walking at her wedding. So first week in June. So I did two things. First of all, very critically, I called my two oncologists to make sure that my bones were dense enough to hold the screws. You know, I've got a blood cancer. It controls, it attacks the calcium in your bones. Your bones get weaker. But my bones are dense enough, the doctors tell me. So to hold the screws that are actually going to be screwed into my spine to hold this cage. I mean, that sounds like it's going to hurt. But my spine's going to be strong enough to hold the screws, according to my oncologist. So no problem. I can go ahead with a fusion. Then I called a doctor I really trust. That's Dr. Eric Rose. He's one of the leading heart guys, actually, in the world, frankly. He's a friend of mine. He actually has a beautiful house near us in Sharon. And look, he's the guy who said to me last year, you're wasting your time with a stem cell transplant. That's a waste of your time. You should just go for the clinical trial, immunology, CAR-T. That'll cure you. And he was right. I had the stem cell. It didn't help. But I'm in complete remish with immunology and CAR-T. So he was absolutely right on that one. So we talked it out. I mean, he just listened to me and I listened to him. And, you know, we started leaning toward go for the cure, right? But then he told me really honestly, he said, look, big decision for you. Don't make it today. Sleep on it. So, hey, Jill, I'm awake.
Okay. You slept on it.
I'm awake. You can tell I'm awake. I'm going for the cure. Could you imagine if I had this back surgery of one sort or another, and I came out and I was still in this kind of pain? I mean, that would be depressing.
Not only that, and this is, you know, the old advert, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Mm-hmm. The power of the human mind in healing is, you know, something amazing. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge that there was another option that you didn't do mm-hmm. would truly have messed with, if you were in the slightest bit of discomfort, those two thoughts would have probably met up, linked arms, and started a whole raft of unfortunateness.
So. Yeah. No, I feel, look, I feel this is my best shot at being pain-free. And remember, I have spinal stenosis. I've been dealing with this for 6 years, on and off. It's sometimes not so bad after operations and whatnot, but I've had two operations already. And I'm really hoping that this operation can once and for all straighten out my spine, clean it up, and I'll be pain-free for the foreseeable future. That's what I'm hoping for.
And now, and the best is also that the surgeon who was doing this said, yeah, this is what we're going to do to make you pain-free. So in that right. is a compelling enough offer right. to make it worth considering.
Yeah, you have to be awfully confident to say that. Doctors usually aren't that definitive. But he was. I mean, he is a hotshot, and he's very well trained and very intelligent. That's his call. Now, here's the thing. That put me in a position where I had to make a very difficult phone call to Dr. Chaudhry, who's been wonderful up at Mount Sinai, and say, hey, look, all your trouble and all your help with your assistant getting me through pre-op and everything else and all the advice along the way, I've decided against having the surgery with you. It's a really painful phone call. I didn't want to make it, but I knew I had to make it, and I did. And I got his assistant, and she couldn't have been nicer. She said, look, whatever's best for you, Mr. Lally, is the best thing for us. We understand this completely. You know, then get this, Jill. She called me back about 10 minutes later, and she said, you know, you've cleared pre-op here at Mount Sinai. Can I forward any of your records down to special surgery to help you clear pre-op down there? Now, that's an extra caring gesture that I really appreciate. I would tell anyone considering back surgery, I highly recommend you spend some time with Saad Chaudhry up at Mount Sinai and his team. They are absolutely first rate. And I'm going to do one more thing, Jill. I've written about this in my book. And, you know, how do you break up with a doctor? I mean, if you've hardly met the guy and whatever, you decide on someone else, you can just, you know, give him a phone call. But if you have a relationship the way we did with Chaudhry, we met with him a couple of times, guided us through the pre-op. I'm got no email, no email. I'm going to sit down and write him a handwritten note, and I'm going to send it to him to thank him in the next couple of days. And doctors tell me that they cherish those letters more than anything else. See, very few patients, even as much as doctors help them, very few patients take the time to actually say thank you. And I think as a society, we don't take enough time to say thank you. And when someone stops, sends a letter, says, "Hey, Doc, you were sensational. You really helped me. I couldn't have made it without you. You're a terrific person." I mean, you go into that profession to heal people, to help people. You make a couple of bucks, but there are long hours, a lot of stress, a lot of disappointment along the way. And in the end of the day, not enough patients, I think, take the time to say, "Hey, Doc, that was great. Thanks." Okay. So we're gonna do that. Now, one more word before we go bye-bye here. I'll be in the hospital next week. We'll continue reporting on my condition for as long as I can. Let's see how it turns out.
Thank you, Frank. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And, of course, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now.